Today, last week we discussed about the finished work of Christ. A lot of the time, what we are trying to do is we are not trying to change, we are not giving you a new theology. We are giving you a theology, the truth has been revealed to you again. And always what we tell you, teach you here, is for you to come into the fullness of that understanding. So when you are praying, foremost you have to see yourself that this is answered, this is done. And so we got to continue to believe that the God is comforting the wife and the daughter as they travel to Saudi at this difficult time. At the same time, we also have to pray for the health and wholeness. We got to see the health and wholeness. All these promises are given to us, but we are not living in the fullness. And how do we live that? You know, I have attended a lot of chain prayer meetings and big thing. We so much trust, Friday we had the Bible study, how to transition from the Old Testament mindset to the New Testament mindset. We have this Adamic view about reaching out to all spiritual things. We think it's our effort, our thing. We live in the new covenant with the old covenant mindset. But we don't see the results. You will see, okay, we packed up, you know, a stadium with 10,000 people or a MCG, we will fill up and we pray. I tell you, 5 days later, if you ask people what happened, nothing happened. Because he cannot do anything new for you than he has already done. Always remember that. You can't make him move because he is already moved. I know this would be hard to grasp and some of the things I would share would irritate you, but you will get it. You will get the message. So if you have a Bible, please turn to 2 Corinthians. So today I want to share on a subject, you cannot finish what is already finished. You cannot finish what he is already finished. You see, most of our lives, especially I know for myself, that brought up in such a traditional religious way, that we have tried to achieve a lot of things with our will, our mind, our emotions. And that has been the dominant thing in our lives. We have made decisions, we have made choices, we have lived our lives out of our mind and our will and emotion. And we have not seen the real success. How many of you have seen the real success in that? So we're going to explore, okay, what is lacking, what is missing in what we were doing, what we have learned so far. So what God is doing today, he's moving us out of that dimension of the soul and bringing us into the spirit. Because we've been so soulish, you know, we analyze things and we do all those things and we declare. Sometimes we use it as a magic word, abracadabra, when we take a verse. We take a verse and we say, we confess, we declare, we do this thing and nothing happens. We think, that didn't work. It's like taking a lottery. We don't know the numbers are right, we may as well put it out there, something. You know, like all he says, you have to be in it to win it. So that's how our thing is. We just put numbers out there. We just some declaration. We put things out there and we think it's going to win. But that's not the sure assurance we have in Jesus. What we have in Jesus is very guaranteed. Yeah? We just don't know how to use it. We don't know how to, because the religion has always speak about spirituality, speak about the Holy Spirit. But every effort is made. Every church I have gone to, You know, these days, recently somebody asked me, would you come and speak at this church? And I'm in two minds, because I know that what I'm going to share would offend them. You know, they want that, what are the five secrets to live this way or that way. They don't want to know the truth. As I always say, people don't want to hear the truth. They want somebody to assure what they believe is true. And that's what we want. We have so much given to our traditions. We have so much given to our way of life. We don't want anyone to disrupt us. I heard this story one day. A new senior pastor at a church. They don't know. I mean, the church service started, and the people are coming, and there was a homeless man sleeping in the front of the porch, in the front, near the entry. He's just sleeping there, lying down, and people are walking and all that, and people are a bit offended and irritated what this homeless person is doing there, and they couldn't make any sense, and it was like, you know, we are all dressed up, we are going to the church, what is this guy doing here? They were not happy about it. We talk about the love of God and we talk about the grace and mercy and kindness, but when rubber hits the road, we have nothing to do with it. We don't want to partner with anything. And when the service started, they were introducing the new church, new senior pastor. And guess who walks up? The guy who was lying down in the front. And he introduced, by the way, I am your senior pastor. I just want to understand that how much the truth of the gospel you understood. And he said, none of you paid the attention to me as I was lying down there. And most of us are like that. We are very good in talking about things but we want to help people when they actually align with what we believe. We want to help people if they agree with my theology. We judge people before we even get to know them. If he's Muslim, he's Hindu, he's this, he's that, she's drug addict, she's homosexual, she's lesbian. We conclude what the love of God towards them should be because we filter that through our eyes and the way we see the world. When God said, love your neighbors, he didn't say that, hey, they should be all clean and perfect in everything before you love them. That's the very reason I don't like to go and speak. I'm going home, not next week, week after. Somebody said, would you come to speak? I said, sorry, I won't be there. I'm going to be in a different town. So I don't want to speak. Because they are so much set in their ways. I know what I want to share. They won't agree on things. Every truth the reformers brought were initially considered as a heresy. Every truth. Even Jesus was considered the heretic. And they killed him. Paul was stoned. All the apostles were considered heretic. Whenever we speak about grace, it's a heretic. And today the reason we don't see effectiveness is we have given so much importance to our way of thinking and what we think. We assume what is true, that we don't truly love people. We don't care. We are most knowledgeable, we have more access to information today than any other generation before us. But do you know what is the rate of church shutting down these days? I think it's around 1,500 churches that shuts down on a weekly basis. Why? Because people are sick and tired of religion. They don't feel comforted. We come here, we don't want to know the pain. If I ask you, how are you? I don't want to know your story. I just expect one answer. I am good, how are you? And we move on, you move on your direction, and I move on my direction. But that's not what God has called us to be. When He gives us a direction, love yourself. First of all, love yourself. Know who you are. He says, love others as you have, as you love yourself. And most of us are so insecure in so many levels because of the damage that the church has done to us. So if please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to focus on verse 5, but I'm going to read from verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. The word, their arguments, is originally it's the word imagination. So basically, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, so Paul is here saying that the imagination argue with us, and they try to reason with us. They try to dominate and try to intimidate us whenever we hear the truth. These are the imagination that come in your mind. For example, you know the truth that God loves you. Yeah? And sometimes you lose your temper, or you get angry, or you just do something stupid. All of a sudden, what happens? There is an argument. Happens in your mind, isn't it? And your imagination runs wild. How the day is going to be today? Oh man, something is going to go wrong in my life. Why is that? And here he's saying, take anything that comes against you captive, and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Anything that comes to the knowledge, against your knowledge. I get people, because they measure their God's love for them with their own love for others or for God. We forget the fact is His love towards us is agape. It's unconditional. You don't choose Him, He chose you. You see? And when stuff happens in our lives, we have arguments happening in our lives. We have judgment happening in our lives. And our battle is, initially you will struggle, because whenever you want to shift those kind of thought patterns, you're going to continue to struggle. Because you have to bring it to the captivity and bring it to the obedience of Christ. No, God said this. No, God said this. This is what the Lord has said. I don't care. That's what Paul is saying, that because he should be living in so much condemnation, because he approved the killing of so many people. And the prime example is killing of Stephen. But what did he say? Paul says, now, because of the knowledge of Christ, I count everything I know. My education, the law, my status, everything, I count it rubbish. You see? We have to come to that stage. And the biggest thing you and me should be doing is renewing of our minds. Continuously renewing of your mind. And when you have renewed and you come to that place in life where you are not moved by what you see. Do you know what tree of life and tree of good and evil means? What are those things? What is good and evil? Good and evil is what you see with your eyes. It's five senses. That's what it represents. Five senses. And you will always come to conclusion very quickly. Isn't it? Because what we see very quickly affects us. It's five senses. And tree of life is who? Who is the tree of life? Jesus is the tree of life. So either you are eating from tree of good and knowledge, the fruit of that. That is, fruit is basically what you're seeing it. And if you believe it, you're eating, feeding from that. Tree of life is you are saying what the word of God has said. This is what the word is speaking to me. So I don't care what I'm seeing. It doesn't matter what is happening to me. I am trusting in the one who promised things to me. So in other words, he is saying, now the revelation and knowledge that you have received about the Father is probably going to conflict with the religious upbringing in the heritage and nurturing that you receive for a lot of years from your organization. So when we hear the truth, it conflicts. Because we want to be comfortable. We don't want anybody to come and create a chaos. We like the ritual of going to the church in a certain way and do things and all that. Throughout my life I have seen that, going to various denominations. So one of the major hinders, obstacles that hinders us from manifesting as his sons and living like Christ did, is the life of imagination that carry around in our minds. And we continuously play the same thing. We have a foggy vision because of that. You know. But Paul is saying, hey, cast them down. Casting is present progressive word. Tense. Means ongoing process. You gotta ongoingly cast it down. Not one off. Doing constantly. Whenever you feel that kind of discouragement, nothing is happening on all that, you gotta take the word and you gotta start speaking it. Not to convince God. Most of the time in Pentecostalism, we think we are convincing God. No, he doesn't need convincing. But what happens is when you confess and declare it, subconsciously something starts changing. Your neural pathways, something shifts, change, and you start believing. And then the truth starts manifesting. And a lot of the time also what happens is we make it a formula. We think, yes, this is happening because of the result. And we want others to copy. No. As long as you are convinced, you start seeing the results. We always say, you know, God loves you. Then we say, but remember, God is also God of justice. God of justice. You know. This is allowed, but remember God. Remember God. This is what I'm saying. You know, I used to get a prophetic word spoken. I had so many people lay hands because I desperately want everything they had. Every single person walk past, put your hands on. Because it's come from a real authentic desire. But I tell you, a lot of those laying hands has made no difference to me. It was me digging in and discovering and going, understanding the truth that has brought freedom in me. Is there laying anything wrong with? Not at all. But remember, the kingdom of God within each one of us are not fragmented. You have all, we all have the same Spirit of God. You see? But I remember somebody, prophetic will preach, prophesy over you, and gave a great word. But then he would, the last point would be this. So in the coming days, you need to fast, set yourself apart, pray, and do this, X, Y, Z. So if it doesn't happen, so lack is on your side. Not because I've got my word wrong. It's in your side. That's how the circus plays. See, it's easy to give prophetic word. Most of the people are freaked out. They give a prophetic word because they hide. You know. And from a New Testament perspective, the prophetic has only one purpose. Edify, comfort, and strengthen. We are not our old covenant prophets. We are a new covenant people. Prophecy is just declaring the word of God. Yes, some time to time he would give a word to release, but the purpose is to comfort, strengthen people. You see, Adam and Eve, what happened with them was in the imagination. The sin, where did it happen? In the imagination. Who told them that they were lacking something? Who believed? They imagined. You see? When you start imagining that you are lacking something, you will start performing that way. You see, you will have a lot of the thoughts coming into your mind all the time. But what you're going to receive, what you're going to start believing, it's up to you. Are you taking those thoughts captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ? But even then, God never judged them. They assumed God was angry with them. Who was looking for them? God did. Cool of the day, God came and he says, where are you? And what did he say? And all of a sudden, they separated themselves and they come to conclude that God is mad and angry and upset with them. But did God express any of those things? They didn't. He came and he said to them, who told you you are naked? Who told you? He didn't tell him. They started forming a view about God. They started forming a view about themselves. That this is who God is. They start to come to conclusion. And we also start to come to that conclusion. You know, so much damage we do in the church. Rather than speaking life, we come to say, this is happening because of your generation. One day, once I was going through some real emotional challenge. This is a couple of years ago. And they said, in Malayalam, they say, the Parambariya Shaktigal is fighting with you. I said, what Parambariya Shaktigal, man? I am in Christ. A new creation. The old is gone, new has come. What do you mean? My parent can't recognize me, let alone the Parambariya Shaktigal recognize me. When I first became a Christian, my parents saw psychologically something gone, wrong with me. Because I used to come home only when money runs out. And now I'm helping mom in the kitchen. She said she's gone nuts. Something is wrong with him. And she used to thump money in my hand, says, get out. I don't want to see you at home. Because I was cleaning the yard, I was doing all those things around the house, which was unheard of. When you are in Jesus, you are secure in Him. He is the one who keeps you secure, not you. Remember, He took initiative in every way. God, when He created the Garden of Eden, He prepared every single thing before He created Adam and Eve. They were lacking nothing. Then all of a sudden they realized, they somehow started thinking they are not complete yet. Do you know what sin is? What is the definition of sin, we said? Sin is missing the mark. There is another definition I heard, which is fantastic. Sin is when we try to fulfill a legitimate, a true need in our life in a wrong way. A legitimate need in an illegitimate way. For example, I need finance. Is it a legitimate need? Yes? Doubt. Is it a legitimate need, yeah? But me robbing the bank for that need is missing the mark. Isn't it? Relationally, there are legitimate needs, but people fill it with an illegitimate way. That is missing the mark. That's what Jesus said to her, the woman who was caught. She said, hey, listen, you are more than this. Don't go sin no more. He said, don't miss the mark. Don't miss the mark because you are a daughter of God. Don't miss the mark. That's what sin is. The Bible says He died for our sin, not sins. The sins is basically when we are saying that, you know, our definition is all this. No, it's recognizing their source is God, your reliance is God. And then when you say your reliance is God, you don't miss the mark. Yeah? You see, we make choices, we make decisions, we are trying to attain the kingdom within us, which has already declared Jesus is fully providing. He is the complete supplier of us in every need, which is declared done. Everything is done. There is nothing pending. He has not left anything pending. So this is the reason I put so much emphasis in contemplative prayer. Your prayer is not giving a list of things, laundry list to God. That's not the primary purpose. He can't give it to you. Why? Because the kingdom is within you. And how is His promises? Yes and? Is it going to happen or is it happen? Already happened. Then why are you asking? Yes and amen, isn't it? It is done. So it is us realizing that has happened. So when I meditate on that, when I live from that place. Remember when Peter and John saw this crippled man. What did they say? Silver and gold. He says, look, money wise I don't have change, or I don't even have any money. But hey, by the way, what I have, I give it to you. What I have, not what Jesus had. You see? What I have, I'll give it to you. Get up and walk. And they walked. The miraculous was such a norm thing. It was not a big deal, because they understood who they are in Jesus. Once Paul was preaching, he was preaching like me, long-winded sermon. The kid was sitting at the window and he fell down. He was finished. He was dead. Paul goes down. Paul was not happy, one missing. He goes down, raises him from the dead, and he continues to preach. They didn't make a big deal. Today one person gets healed, we have in the Instagram, we have this, we have Facebook places, this happened, that happened. And then for the next 10 years you don't hear anything. Not even a headache getting healed. Why? Because we are drawing our identity based on what is happening. But once you realize who you are, none of that matters to you. Why? Because you come to realize that this is norm. Me praying for people or people getting healed and provision and all that is norm. You don't draw anything. It doesn't bother you what happens. Paul says, you know, for me to die is gain. He says, it doesn't really matter because I am in Christ. Yeah. You see, if we start renewing our mind, always ask yourself, what am I asking? Is it already been given to me? So when do you start prayer? And I would encourage you, write it down, your prayer. And then read it yourself. But write it down from the place it has already happened. Because if it's yes and amen, I am just reminding myself this has happened. This has taken place. Go to your meeting. How many of you like meeting and some meetings are nervous, nerve-breaking? Write it down. I'm so grateful, Father, that this meeting has gone so well. That this is the result. Write it down. And then see that. Because initially you have to see. You're not convincing God, you're seeing yourself. You're reading it. Oh, fantastic, this has happened. This is good. That's what Abraham did. He gave them a physical reference. Look at the stars. Look at the sand. Look at it day and night. You come to believe that one day your lineage, your children will be stars, like stars, uncountable. And he says, Abraham believed God. That he knew that he was no longer going to eat from the tree of good and evil. Tree of knowledge. That means he's not going to look at his physical age. He's not going to bring biology education in there. But he says that he realizes, he knows that he and his wife are way past the age of childbearing. Naturally to have conceived child, but it says that Abraham believed in God who made the promise. He believed in the one who promised. It doesn't matter what is happening, I'm going to trust in the one who promised. And something shifted. My niece called me, one of my cousin's son has not got married. He has no hair, by the way. He thinks that's the reason he's not getting married. But so my last visit, I met two guys. And one was a neighbor. He has not been, for 10 years he's looking for a girl and he's not got married. So as he was sitting and visiting me, I shook his hand and I said, hey, mate, this is the year, it's going to be done. And within 2 months he got married. And then there was somebody else, and he also got married. My niece said to me, this cousin of ours has not got married. Can you meet him? Just to spend time with him. That's all takes as a believer who you are. You need to be able to see that just because you are there, that place is prospering. You got to see the business is prospering. You got to see your people around you as prospering. You are being successful. You got to see that. Yeah? And that's what prayer is the most. Prayer without ceasing doesn't saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's not what the prayer without ceasing means. Prayer without ceasing is a state of communion that you are constantly living in. That is what prayer is. It's a constant thing bringing into. We spoke about the centering prayer. Bringing constantly yourself to that place of knowing that you are in Him. He is in you. And when somebody gives a request, like Rina mentioned this morning about that lady. Now we see her. God, I'm so grateful that you have given her the place. How it's going to happen, we don't want to know. The knowledge of good and evil will always bring you all the different reasons why something is not possible. But tree of life is speaking completely something different. So you always tap into the tree of life. And you confess and declare what the tree of life is speaking. That's what living by the Spirit means. On Friday we discussed about that. The carnally minded, Bible says, leads to carnally minded, where does it lead to? Death, yeah, speak it loudly. This is death. But the Spirit, living by the Spirit, gives life. So basically carnally minded and all that is talking about thoughts. Spirit thoughts brings life. Carnal thoughts will bring death. So when life situation happens, you gotta allow yourself that what are the Spirit thoughts? What is the Spirit of God saying in this? Are you obeying the Spirit? And what is obeying means? What was the meaning of obey? The word. Because obedience is not doing. The primary focus of obedience, it says that it's hearing. And when you hear, it says faith comes by hearing. That is the obedience part. Yeah? And when the hearing, faith comes. And if faith comes, all things are possible. You know, I have learned one thing is that God is never in a hurry. If I don't learn a lesson, He's not in a hurry. He will repeat it again and again and again. So if I have to repeat this Bible study again, I will do it again because by this time I will have notes and slides already ready. So I will keep on giving different titles and I will keep on repeating until we get it. You see, we gotta remember that we are not asking Father. We gotta free Him from our request constantly. We gotta start believing that He has given us. And you thanks. That's why Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. That's what he means. He says, you have. Remember, Paul prayed. Paul was in Corinth, I believe. And the Judaizers were really hassling him. And they were hassling him and they were, when he was speaking, the Judaizers were coming and saying to them, hey, I know you hear the gospel, but you also need to be circumcised. You gotta obey the law as well. And some of them were very violent against him. And he says, what was it? Thorn on the flesh. It was not sickness or disease. It was these people, those who were following. And the Bible says he pleaded with God to remove this kind of hindrance from his ministry. What did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. So basically saying, hey Paul, you don't have to ask me. You have already got it. And what did he learn? That in my weakness, his strength is manifested. You see, in our weakness. When we come to the bottom, rock bottom of our own labor, we come to realize all along his supply is always there to take care of me. Yeah? So if we don't have the good grasp of the finished work of the cross, with everything Jesus accomplished, when he said it is finished, we need to focus on renewing, need to understand what was finished. You need to understand the unconditional love. You need to understand the mercy that endures forever. You don't have to continue to plead things with God, but know that God has already accomplished everything that we need. You see, 2 Peter 1:3, that's what I love. It says, His divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. It says, doesn't say it's going to give, does it? He says, His divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So it is having the revelation, having that knowledge of Jesus, we come to realize we have everything that we need to live in the fullness that Jesus has called us to live. Yeah? So when we understand this, when we understand this truth, one of the things that will happen is we will remove the spiritual frustrations that we experience in life. You know how many times, I have prayed this, I have done this, I have followed this formula, nothing has happened, and you get frustrated. But when you know Jesus is with you and for you and He's working out things, you relax. You just say, God, I don't understand this, but I trust in you. You allow God to be God. Yeah? You are no longer have to say, well, I prayed about this, God didn't answer. He didn't answer because it's already been answered. Yeah? You have to quit trying to get Him to do something what He has already done. Even though we know all this, His promises are yes and amen for the glory of God through us, then we got to trust that. And it's a slow process. You know, today you heard the sermon doesn't mean tomorrow onwards you're going to do that. That is the discipline. That's the what it means to meditate on His word. Knowing His word day in, day out. Experiment in small things. When you're going to the office, when you're on the train, when you're tramp, when you're interacting with people, start doing that. You gotta introduce, you have to proactively change your mind until it becomes the second nature. And when that happens, you will come to that place, just like Peter did, just like all other apostles did. They will come to that place with such an assurance. They heal, they pray, they walk, and they come to that awareness that I am embodied with the presence of God. When you come that, you walk into a place and people say, hey, something shifted. Why? Because you are the shift. Because the kingdom is within you. The God is within you. The Spirit of God is within you. Yeah? This is the reason we read in Ephesians. I'm going to read from Philip's translation. Not this Philip, a different Philip's. When I think the greatness of His great plan, I fall on my knees before God the Father. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, of his resources, he will enable you to know the strength of the Spirit, of a inner reinforcement that Christ may actually live in your hearts by faith. And I pray that you will be firmly fixed in your love, in love yourself, and may be able to grasp how wide, how deep, how long, how high is the love of Christ. And to know for yourself that the love so far beyond our comprehension, may you be filled through all the being of God himself. And 1 John 2:20 says, but you have the anointing from the Holy One, that you will know all things. That you will know all things. God has an anointing that is a divine enablement that is within you. And you've got to trust that, that God is leading you. God is guiding you in every way. You get quickly, we get frustrated, isn't it? Whenever news comes in, we immediately get frustrated about things. We don't take a moment to just to reset ourselves. You know, when situation happens, like if immediately when rain, you step into the rain, what do? In here we don't know because we keep walking, but in Kerala we open the umbrella. When a situation happens, what we gotta do is you gotta open a umbrella. You just say, I'm gonna take a time out. This is happening, bombarding me, this situation happened. All of a sudden, arguments is happening. Oh, guess what? Interest rate is going up. This is happening. House, I don't know. Even these people, they are cutting off, all that kind of thing. You see, that's where you got to open up the umbrella. I'm going to take a time out. And then you start from the place of gratitude. That's what Paul means. You know, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. You know, don't be anxious about anything. That's what he says. Don't be anxious about anything. This guy is writing from the not an air-conditioned, you know, Hyatt hotel. He's in the prison. You see, most of his epistles are from the prison. And he's saying, rejoice. Again, I say, don't be anxious. He says, in prayer and supplication, assess it in your being and know that who God is in you. And he says, all of a sudden you experience peace, but because you believe, you know that in your knowing that none of this can change me. This is temporary that will pass because I am secure in God. And then God will make sure all things work together for my good. Yeah. You see, Jesus is constantly ministering to each one of us. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:11, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away the sins. And sometimes we have a tendency to do the same thing again and again and again and again. And we think we're going to reap our different results. But then he says, but this man Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You know what sat down right hand of the God means? He was not tired. That means there was nothing else to do. And today we have these prayer meetings to say somehow he stands up and moves and does something. No, he's not going to stand here. Because he has finished it. Now it says, verse 13 says, from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. He's sitting where he's waiting for us to move. He is waiting for sons and daughters for us to move. Because everything he has sent to do, he completed. He sat down. Now he wants us to realize who we are in our collective consciousness and walk as sons and daughters. And we are his feet. He says, you see, the Great Commission is still relevant, isn't it? He still asks us to go make the disciples. The disciple means make them realize that who they are. That's good news. That is good news. Not the good news you're going to the fry pan. That's not a good news. Good news is they've been redeemed, they've been paid for. You are in the kingdom. And when they come to realize, they rejoice. But more than convincing anybody else, you and me need to be convinced that not just one person, the whole of the world. I was driving with my son this morning, dropping him at work. And he said, some preacher was saying, if you do this. And the question again came about the same thing. He says, what then he means? He's saying one side God so loved the world, then he's saying only people, those who confess. And the question rose from there that what about the kids, those who are incapable of confessing? What about the mentally ill people? What about thousands and thousands of people, those who had never heard about Christ? You see, that's why you got to understand, when he said it is finished, he did something beautiful that beyond our comprehension. That's what it says, that every tongue will confess, every knee shall bow that he is Lord. Because they come to that realization. You and me, when we are coming, these 40 days that we went through and next week we finish, it was more about our awareness, walking daily in the awareness of who Christ is. So I want you to practice those three things. If you would have written, some of you would have written, some of you have not written. Whatever you're looking at, writing it down is a very powerful thing. Revising, the revision. And all of a sudden you see things shift, see things change. There are people in the world, those who have practicing the spiritual principle and reaping a great results than we do. Because we still have a separation mentality. There are other philosophers, those who don't even think there is any separation between them and God. Even though we have the promise of the union, we don't walk in that realization of the union. You and me are in a complete union with God. So what I would say, I'll give an example. I want you to practice and share the testimonies what you see the results. When you go to the office, when you're going to the meeting, some other things are coming, like Rina said, this request coming. Immediately, you tell with confidence to her, saying, hey, I see you getting a rented house. I am believing with you, I'm standing, I'm so grateful to God that this has happened. And when you start walking that, all of a sudden what will happen, your confidence will increase. You start seeing results. And all of a sudden, it becomes seamless. And one day will come, you don't have to write it down. You don't have to. Why? Because you can just think and it manifests. Amen? That's what growing in the knowledge of Christ is. Not an Adamic nature where you think you are lacking, you are missing something. Only thing we are missing is knowledge. The knowledge of Christ. That's what it meant. Now we are gleaning the knowledge as Jesus has declared to us. How he meant for us to understand. And once we understand that revelation, we walk in a greater power. The power is just a byproduct of it. Once we remove the hindrances, the blockages, barricades, the things will start flowing easily. It's not that it's restricted by some dark forces. No, it's restricted by our minds. He says you were alienated in your minds. In our minds we are alienated. Amen. Okay, let's pray. So Father, we are so grateful that we continue to discover who we are in Jesus. The finished work of cross. We have learned so many things from so many different perspectives that didn't clearly convey the gospel to us. Father, as we discover the gospel, all that you have achieved, Father, we will walk in that awareness. a greater awareness of who Christ is in us. The Christ in us, the hope of glory. Like Paul discovered that it is not the road of Damascus just he had encountered. He confesses that he who separated me from my mother's womb, that means before he was even born, God chose him. God chose each one of us before we were even created. We were conceived in your heart. Father, we will see every human being like that. No matter where in the journey of life they are, we see them in the image of Jesus. And we expect great things, God. We expect the healing virtues to flow through each one of us, even our kids, expecting and living from eating from the tree of life, not of good and evil. We will not allow the imaginations and the arguments of this world, what is happening, to diminish the hope we have in Jesus. So we give you all the glory, honor and praises to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.